Welcome to Blether Together from Farmstrong Scotland. I'm Sarah Stephen. Thanks for being with us. This time, we're joined by James Logan, East Lothian farmer and chairman of the Royal Highland and Agricultural Society for Scotland. This is a great chat about lots of things, including James and his family's succession planning and how it took a good woman to take hold of the reins.
My wife convened a family meeting and she chaired it. Son, daughter and myself, and they all said what they thought they wanted to do.
The place of rural shows, including the Highland Show, in supporting farmers' and crofters' well-being.
It's a time to come together, to socialise, have the soft chats, have a couple of pints of lager and it's maybe easier to have those chats.
And what works for James when the going gets tough, both on the farm and in the days and hours leading up to the show?
You know, it's all of a sudden, it's tomorrow morning and there's 50,000 people going to come through that gate and you just hope that you've thought as many things as possible. So you do always have your doubts. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am fine. Flat out of harvest.
I didn't recognise you without your hat.
Hat and suit and our ties on. Suited and booted.
Suited and booted. It's been a while. What I'm referring to, listeners, is James's presence at the Highland Show. And I always saw James from afar in the main ring, sorting everyone out.
With her bowler hats on. That was right at the start. That'd be 2016, 17, 18.
2016. Yeah. I know. And I mean, that's where I know you from. And obviously, you've climbed the ranks. You've made it up that greasy pole, James.
Yes. How did I become chairman? Very honoured, may I say. Hugely honoured.
Of course you are.
You don't appreciate it until you get there, to tell you the truth. You know, and appreciate when everybody speaks to you and the importance of the show to everybody, I think, is, yeah, that's what blows you away a wee bit at times.
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're here to talk about today. And it's nice to see that you are very much in a farmhouse kitchen.
Yes.
What is it? A range behind you? Is it
that? Oh, a good old aga.
A good old aga,
like all farmhouse kitchens have, or used to have, anyway.
I know. And I take it, are you comfortable with the aga? Do you use the aga? Are you a good cook?
Steady. Probably beans and toast is my repertoire. Fortunately, I've got a very supportive wife that keeps me going. Fed and supported, I think.
I've heard a lot about Eleanor and she sounds like a very strong woman that stands alongside you, which is great to hear.
Probably picks up the pieces is probably a better description, Sarah.
Oh, well, it's great to have you on our podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. It's lovely to have you with us. And I always start these things sort of with a wee bit of an icebreaker with some rapid fire questions. Are you up for those?
Fire away.
Okay, great. I like that. You're going to dive right in. Okay, so we're going to kick it off with, what has been your favorite age so far?
40.
What item is worth spending more money on?
A holiday.
Most ridiculous farming question you have ever been asked?
Probably by some of the kids from Rhett asking, thinking that potatoes grow in trees.
I thought that there might be one from the Highland Show. Who is your best friend?
Oh, wife.
Eleanor.
Yes.
Would you ever appear in a reality show?
No.
How do you usually answer the telephone?
Hello. That's it.
Finish the phrase. The way to my heart is...
good meal.
If given the chance to start your life over, would you take it?
I'd love to be 30 again and do it all again with the knowledge I have today. But unfortunately, we can't do that. I would still do the same again, but I would just like to have another shot at it.
Is your bed made right now?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay. What is your most strongly held belief?
Honesty, communication, and speaking to people.
Well, well done. You've answered them. Honest answers, which is fantastic. And I'd love to take you back to one of your answers, the age that you'd like to go back to, 30. Why 30?
I think it's interesting as you go through life, you see in succession planning, and now you're at an age where you're having to hand over. I think in your 20s, you're still learning. You've come out of college, you think you know everything, but actually you don't know as much as you think you know, and you see it over and over again. And at 30, you're starting to gather that information, how you're going to drive your business forward, and you have your aspirations. And in your 30s, you're full of enthusiasm, energy. You take the knocks easier, and nothing's a problem. By your 40s, you're then thinking, oh, children and all these sorts of things, and you're having to sort of settle down. But in your 30s, you can burn the candle at both ends, I think.
Good, yeah. Sounds like a man that probably did that a little bit. Yeah, so good. And you're a third-generation farmer. So what lessons have you carried with you from those that have gone before? So I'm thinking of your father, and you took over from him, and you've mentioned succession. So I'm just wondering what you're carrying forward from that.
Yeah, I think I was very, very lucky. My father allowed me to take the reins at a very young age. You know, I came home, I probably was impatient, as just as I've said. And my father had heart issues at that time when he was in his mid-50s. May I say, at 93, he's still alive and checking up on me, which is brilliant. But I think he allowed me to take the reins when I was 25, 26. And I think that was a great learning, that he was still there to bounce ideas off. And I hope I can do that for my son. Now, it's a little bit more challenging when you're at the other end of this story. And probably he would say something totally different if you asked him a question or two. But what's been great, he's working away from home just now. So he's learning his skills and his ability, not from his father, being bossed by somebody probably better than his father, which is great. So when he comes home, he'll come back and be himself. And he's now starting to come back one day a week, which is great, because he's starting to be involved and shape what we're doing going forward. And, you know, we always think we're at the cutting edge, but actually when you get the youngsters involved, you realise, you're 60 for a reason, James. You're not quite at the cutting edge you used to be. So I think that's the big difference I see going forward in the farming. It's letting him take the reins, guide it in the way he wants to. Because my father was a stockman. He survived and made money fattening dairy heifers, taking them to Lanark. And when I came home, I tried to fatten cattle and carry on what he did. I was very poor at it. And I enjoyed the arable side and the potato side more. And he allowed me to cut back all those cattle, everything he had done, and he got on a forklift when he was 61 or 62 and drove a forklift until 82 to support me. You know, so that's huge dedication to the business and the family, and I really do appreciate that.
Well, a big shout out to Mr. Logan Senior right here in this podcast then. I mean, yeah, you've spoke about now you're in your dad's shoes and you're sort of filling his footsteps. It wasn't as easy as you thought it might be. So what have the challenges been to you in that succession?
You've been the boss for a while, haven't you? You have been the boss for 40 or 30 years. So actually handing it over and listening to somebody else's ideas. And yeah, interestingly, as a wee side story into the Logan household, once now and again on a Sunday, my wife convened a family meeting and she chaired it. So it was great. Son, daughter, and myself, and they all said what they thought they wanted to do. It was great, because I wasn't chairing it. I wasn't doing it. I had to listen and give my viewpoints and everything. So it just shows that different mindset. And it's not wrong. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, younger generation, but they're living in their time, and they want to do what they want to do in their way, and they have to get on and do it, because if you hold it back, you're stifling progress and you're stifling that energy that every business needs.
Just breaking into the chat to quickly thank a few people. The NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting this podcast, and Farmstrong Scotland's founding funders, Movember. Farmstrong Scotland is here to help you to live, farm and croft well. Check out the Wellbeing Hub at farmstrongscotland.org.uk. There's a How's It Going tool where you can answer 8 simple questions to be directed to relevant resources to support your well-being. Please also subscribe to the podcast so episodes are automatically downloaded to your device whenever they are released. And spread the word. Please share episodes with anyone you know who might be interested. You could also connect and drop us a note on social media, perhaps with thoughts on who you'd like us to speak to in future episodes. We always love to hear from you. Now, back to today's chat. We're here to really talk about shows and the sort of importance of people coming together, that community. You know, you're now at the helm of one of the biggest shows. You know, it's not just the Highland show, but it's the all the wee satellite shows as well, and how they're still so vibrant and important to the farming community. So perhaps you could just, as we start, you know, this topic, just give us a sense of why you think not just the Highland show, but all these little shows are so important to the industry.
Yeah, it is a meeting point. I mean, COVID drove a horse and cart through us as people, you know, and we lost that ability to actually meet up. And it was devastating. And I think all shows and all events wondered if we'd ever survive, you know, and actually get back. And I think we've come back stronger and better. You go to local shows. I when I took over as chairman, I set the stall out that I would go to as many shows as I could. So I've been to from Dumfries to Haddington to East Kilbride to Kinross to Turriff to Black Isle. They're all vibrant. They're all busy. I mean, they're great shows, and people want to interact with farmers. You know, maybe we don't get as much money as we would like, but actually the community and people are interested in what we do. So I think that's number one. So I think that's the education part for the non-farming part. For ourselves, it's a great time to meet. You know, for a lot of people, getting off the farm is difficult, and it's a time to come together, to socialise, have the soft chats. Have a couple of pints of lager and it's maybe easier to have those chats. Have two cups of coffee and it's easier to have those chats. But, you know, just come and actually relax, get off the farm. I have my wife's granny, Warnock from Bigger. She used to have a great saying that you should have to leave the farm once a week. You should have to leave the county once a month and leave the country once a year. And I thought, you know what, that is such a simple saying that actually gets you to leave your box, because sometimes the box can become overpowering. While actually shows are where you will meet like-minded people, probably all having the same challenges. So the Highland is probably the pinnacle of that, where you bring thousands of people together. But the local shows do that as well. I think the Scottish Farmer in January, when they print out, there's about 120 odd shows in Scotland, all sizes, all shapes, and doing everything. So I've done 12, I think, out of the 125. But, you know, they're all supporting. They're all that training ground, all bringing people together and feeding into, you know, showing stock or whatever it might be. But I think it's so important. We're a sociable species, aren't we? You know, we need to speak to people. We want to speak to people. We want to have a laugh. Laughing's always good for you. Use more muscles laughing than anything else.
Do you think it is harder for the younger generation to have that sort of vibrancy or that connectivity within farming? Because you think about maybe even, you know, quite a few decades ago, even, you know, my father-in-law, there was a lot more people on the farm. There was a lot more interaction on a daily basis. There was a lot more to-ing and fro-ing. We were talking about the local mart here the other day, and, you know, every Friday they would go and they'd have that chin wag. And, you know, it's now very, very quiet. They just don't have that footfall that like they used to. So I'm thinking that although we have this younger generation who are very connected with what's in their hand and what's on their laptop, you know, they're maybe not getting that face-to-face connectivity.
I think that's so true. We are very lucky. Our business is structured that we have 9, 10, 11 people employed in the business. So you're always speaking to somebody. And I think that's what does Dad a lot of good, because he comes out for his walk or his drive and he speaks to somebody. But there'll be so many businesses up and down the country, which is father and son, or one man and, you know, and a worker, a helper, or a shepherd, or whatever. And it's a lonely job. You know, it can be very, very lonely that you don't have that communication. Yeah, you know, a phone, and everybody's attached to a phone. Everybody knows what's happening. But in the end of the day, speaking to people and actually having that communication is actually so important, I think. And I think the shows do that. You know, young farmers as well, you know, I think young farmers are a great feeder onto that. You know, actually, as the Highland, we speak to three really charities. One's the young farmers, and I think that's a starting point. And then you've got Farm Strong sort of a bit in the middle, and then we've got RSABI at the other end. And I think that whole infrastructure of charity work and people trying to support actually what's happening in agriculture is so important, and the farmers as well, because as you said, it can be very lonely, and at the present moment things seem to be going against us.
I mean I've witnessed some of the young farmers' behavior at the Royal Highland Show, and yeah, they seem to have a lot of fun. They make up for the 11 months and whatever x number of days that they don't see each other.
Oh, they do. I mean, you have to get out and about and let your hair down now and again. We've all been there. The trouble is, we've all been there.
Yeah, the giggle of a man who knows exactly what I mean. I mean, so therefore, I suppose the flip question is, given how connected are the next generation are via the phones and via the laptops, you know, are these shows still relevant? What does the industry get from them? Okay, there is the social element, but what do you think it does for, how does it boost the industry? How does it boost business?
Yeah, I think there's two or three things, I think. I think one, we touched on education and educating the general public. I think that is a huge part, and whether that's through RET with kids or it's actually the general public. And we're always talking about that, the Highland Show, is how actually, as well as fitting in with our membership and the farming community, we make sure that actually we do a bit to help broaden Scottish agriculture, you know, sell our products and how we actually broaden that. So I think that's important. And I think that comes through actually now all the supermarkets are now on site. They're busy stands and they're showing that they're supporting as much as they can. So I think that education part's important. On the agricultural side, I think it's still great that people meet up. To win a prize, a livestock prize at the Highland Show or your local show, get your name in these cups, is still important to when you go to sell. You know, you're still at the forefront of your breed or whatever you're doing. So I think that's still something that people want and like to have. So I think it's still relevant today, and it's keeping that younger generation coming involved. So young handlers this year at the Highland Show was huge. I think there were 65 young handlers in the sheep section, which is great to see, because actually that's bringing on the next generation that will be here when I'm in my dotage and I'll be dotting about with a stick, and hopefully they'll be there and carrying it on. And then go to the trade stands. We're still very lucky throughout Scotland. We're supported by agricultural trade and tractor manufacturers and right through. And it's a chance for them to say probably thank you to their customers, you know, an opportunity to get them on and say thank you and have that social element to say, you know, please come back and buy another tractor. You know, I had a saying when I was going around this year to all the membership and promoting. I said, look, you know, we'll save the shows by going and supporting shows, you know. And I said, you know, could you come and have a couple of pints, a couple of burgers and buy a tractor, mm-hmm. and then we'll all be all right. But actually, it's that interaction, coming and supporting it, is actually the most important thing, because supporting it will keep it longevity.
Absolutely. And I know you've been involved for many, many years, so you're very familiar with it and probably very comfortable. But I'm wondering now that you have, you know, this privileged position, which is fantastic and a huge honour, are you nervous? Are you worried? Are you questioning yourself? Are you having confidence, doubts? Or are you pretty like, I know, I've got it. My line of sight is clear.
Up until Wednesday before the Highland Show at 5 o'clock, I was very clear. Between 5 o'clock and the next 5 o'clock, I maybe had my doubts. You know, it's all of a sudden, oh, it's tomorrow morning and it's happening. You know, I think it's that sort of moment when you realise people are coming over the hill, there's 50,000 people going to come through that gate, and you just hope that you've thought as many things as possible. So you do always have your doubts. That's life, isn't it? You know, you whenever that might be, and whether it's in the farm or your business or buying a house or whatever it might be, you always have that wee bit niggle in the back of your mind. And I think that's when it's good to talk. That's when you need a friend, isn't it? That's when you need to be able to sit down around the kitchen table or give a phone call and say, oh dear, have I done the right thing? You know, oh, you know, that sort of conversation. And I think you need your friends round about you in these situations. And I think that's when it's important.
So Eleanor was on hand. Is that what you're saying? Your best friend?
She's heard a lot of moans and groans in her life.
The Farmstrong Scotland annual survey is now open on our website. This survey shapes everything Farmstrong does, from the resources we create, like our sleep guide, to the podcasts and webinars we produce with our wellbeing partners. By taking part, you're helping us understand what matters most to farmers and crofters right now. Your feedback makes sure Farmstrong continues to deliver support that's relevant, practical, and truly useful for our community. It only takes a few minutes, but it makes a huge difference. Please head to farmstrongscotland.org.uk and fill in the survey. If you didn't catch the link, don't worry. It's also in the written show notes for this episode. And you're a man who knows you're comfortable in your own skin, you're confident, you're capable, you know exactly what you're doing. But I mean, how do you approach the whole topic of well-being?
Oh, how did I cope? Oh, God, blame it. That's a big question. I think I go back to what I said earlier. You have to, I'm not good at making time. You know, you should make time to go and have a game of golf or chat to people. I'm not good at that. I will admit that. And that's always probably a downfall of a farmer. But actually, sometimes you get as much satisfaction, you know, sitting in the sprayer for me, you know, driving up and down by myself, you know, away from the phone, just seeing your crops and what you've done. I think that gives you well-being, being pleased with what you've achieved in the last year. You know, sometimes just sitting down and thinking about what you've achieved. Sometimes you can overpower yourself by overthinking it maybe at times, or thinking of what you've got to achieve rather than splitting it down into wee blocks. So yeah, that's probably how I deal with it. There's always a nice social night out, and a Friday or a Saturday is always good fun as well. But that's getting away and getting off the farm again, isn't it? And going and doing something else.
Are you conscious of it though? Are you conscious of today's not a great day and this is how I'm going to have to try and, you know, counteract this? Or is it just one of those things that you don't think about? Because I appreciate that it's obviously a hot topic at the moment, and this is why you're on the, you know, on the podcast and we're talking about it, and just how people deal with it, you know, mental, emotional, physical. I just wondered how much you consider that.
Yeah, I don't really think about it is probably the answer, Sarah. It probably doesn't pass through my mind very often, and that's probably, I'm very lucky about that. I like data, I like information, I like, if I've got that, I'm thinking I'm making the right decisions. Everything I've done has not worked out perfectly well, may I add.
That's okay. So I think we've all been in that boat at some point. But I'm thinking, you know, I think I love that you shared with us about Eleanor chairing a meeting and having the kids around the table. And I wonder if they are sort of dragging, you know, dad, you know, into the sort of like, come on, dad, we can talk about this. And it sounds like you're a very open person anyway. And it's a topic that has been openly discussed in terms of succession. But I like the fact, you know, there's not many families that would do that.
Yeah. I'm people that know me probably say I talk too much, probably. But you know, chat, learn, share your views, share your ups and downs. I always think a problem shared, problem halved. So, yeah, no, I like to speak to people and see people. I'm interested in people, and I think probably that's why when I was in the Highland Show, before I became chairman, I became honorary secretary, and it interested me because it was all about people. You know, that honorary secretary role was speaking with all the directors and finding out what they were interested in and how they fitted into the jigsaw that makes the show together. And I love speaking to people and learning and going to visit, being nosy in farms and things like that. So I think that probably keeps you going and being able to do that. But I appreciate that not everybody can be like that. And it's how you sort of find your own way to do that sort of problem.
And physically, is there something you do every day? I mean, obviously, sitting on a sprayer is not going to...
I've had two backer
operations.
Do you
any good?
I've had two backer operations in my life, so I can say that I probably haven't done that terribly well. Yeah, bit of stretching every morning as you get older always seems to have a bit more creaks. But yes, I think it's back to that, isn't it? Trying to keep active. So farming is an active role, to be fair, in the bigger picture. But at times, probably we don't take time to do that enough.
And what's the goal? Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Yeah, you better ask my kids that, shouldn't you? They'll be able to tell you more accurately. I haven't decided yet. I haven't been told if I'm getting my P45 or I'm getting demotion yet. I think I'm on the demotion because I'm cheap labour.
What's on the bucket list then?
Bucket list is probably to enjoy a few more games of golf and travel, do a bit more travelling, and help the next generation get on. You know, wherever it is and whatever it is and whatever I'm involved in, I think it's nice to see progress. My father was always loved seeing young people progress, and I'm exactly the same. I love speaking to other families' kids and hearing how they're getting on and what they're doing to battle their problems or expand their businesses, because everybody comes out with a different idea. You think everything's been thought of, but all of a sudden you see a new idea coming out and you go, oh, wish I'd thought of that one quicker. I think seeing the business progress and seeing how we get on from there.
I know, and I'm just thinking, I mean, spoken about Eleanor, and I'd love to bring her in a little bit because, you know, she's also diversified as well. And, you know, what you've done with moving the business on, I mean, that's, you know, working alongside her. And I suppose you've got to find that nice balance as well.
Yeah. Everybody in family, business, or whatever has to have their interest. You know, I think it's unhealthy. You're all on top of each other and controlling each other. So she had Lady Shoe Shops before she ended up, when she came from Lady Shoe Shop, she has now a wee veg shed, a vending machine, which she looks after. And that's great. I think if you ask her now what she does, she'll say she runs after three adults that leave a mess behind them. And all three of us. So yes, it's helping. It's helping diversify the business and taking money. I've always been a great believer that you should always try and take a wee bit out the business and broaden your risk. And Eleanor's been a great supporter of that as well. So we've done different bits and pieces, and I think that's important. And today, you know, if you think back, we were doing it back in the 90s when that wasn't very in vogue. Well, today it's much more in vogue. So, you know, I've been to visit lots of people that have diversified into farm shops or these pods. It's fantastic, these opportunities, you know, and I diversified into a peeling business, you know, that's a bit different. But, you know, all these different things are all adding value to your farming business. And it's utilising the assets you've got to the best of your ability. We are very fortunate in farming. I think we forget that sometimes, you know, when we have our moans and groans. We have space. We have acres. We have space. We can actually do things that we want to do. You know, if you speak to somebody out of Edinburgh, Dundee or Aberdeen, you know, they've got a garage, you know, they want to expand their joinery business or whatever it might be. They have to go and rent or buy or what. We're very lucky. We have actually got space to actually do that quite easily. So I think at times just we need to think of actually the assets we have and the positives we have and then try and build on that.
It sounds like you do deal with things very coolly and calmly. And I'm just wondering, you know, when stress happens, and I'm sure it does, are you good at dealing with it? How do you deal with it?
I think I do. Go away to a corner, kick the wall a few times and then come back. Now and again, I do blow up like everybody else does blow up. But, you know, it's hopefully you keep that to a rarity and hopefully you help just... you help the person, because normally it's a, you know, it's a clash or people, and a lot of the time it's communication. You know, communication is key to the majority of life, as far as I'm concerned. If it's clear and everybody knows what we're trying to achieve, then the blow ups don't normally happen, do they? But it's expectation, and if people have different expectations, then you have disappointment, and you have disappointment, you then have the problem. While if everybody knows where they're going, it's when you under supply and overachieve or whatever it is, then you know that's what you're trying to achieve, isn't it?
Well, you've just been named in the Scottish Fields Power 100. Ooh, congratulations. I have to say, they probably didn't know that your bed was unmade when they announced it.
Do you think that would have been a black mark against me?
I'm going to write to a letter to the editor. By the way, did you know? You need to reconsider.
Reconsider my. I definitely dropped down the list, I think.
It's harvest. I'll let you off. But you know, that's super. I mean, it's with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. I'm just a farmer from East Lothian, honest.
That's not the case at all. But I mean, I was thinking about your children, and just we're talking about succession, and you have a daughter as well, and we've met. She's been mentioned, but I'm just wondering, is she interested in the farm, and how you're going to negotiate that going forward?
Oh, it's always a good subject, isn't
Top
it?
Top tips.
What happens if she's listening? That could be the problem.
Well, she's thinking, oh, good to know.
Good to know. Yeah. Oh no, she knows. She's known since the age of 11 or 12, I think. Yeah. No, she's an accountant, and she's foraging her own life and her own interests. Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky subject within farming, but we in our situation, invested away from home years ago, and she will inherit that away from the farm and investment, which will be her part to take forward what she does and how she wants to invest that and do what she does. So that was discussed, and I think it's always a difficult subject to talk about, because everybody's got different ideas and different views. But you know, we talked about it early in their lives. Back to what I said earlier, communication, expectation. There was not the expectation. She knew her expectations, and Hamish knows his expectations, and I just have to get on with it now, I think.
Well, I say, Anna, if you're listening, I have to say, an accountant, you're much better off, okay? So...
She'll be a lot better
she's
off.
She's got her head screwed on. She's got her head screwed on. Well, James, it's been absolutely lovely speaking to you. And I'm just thinking, on that bucket list, maybe we should put cooking, learning to cook on that aga behind you.
I think definitely. Right, might be a few disasters.
Getting off the sprayer and a bit more golf.
Perfect. I'll take you up in that.
And take it. Oh, goodness, I'm no good at golf. And taking Eleanor on a few more holidays.
Excellent idea. I would vote for them.
James, thank you very much. It's been lovely having you on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Huge thanks to RAS Chairman James Logan for taking the time to speak to us. I really hope this episode of Blethered Together from Farmstrong Scotland has entertained and maybe provided some inspiration for supporting your own well-being. Find Farmstrong Scotland online, farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or find us and connect on social media. See you next time.